Oh my God.
Look at that butt. It is so big. That's totally what you sounded like. I was expecting you to break into that song, and then I was like, she doesn't know that song. You totally went, oh my God. Just like the song. That was so unexpected. Okay.
I can't take it. Oh my God, Jess, hi.
Hi, Elsie.
I totally missed you, dude. I did like a whole intro, a whole 5 minutes of an intro all by myself last time. And I was like,
what did you
talking to myself. And I was like, hello, Jess. Hello. Hello, Jess. Oh, Jess, you're not here.
I will say that doing a solo show, with just in general, I don't like not having you to bounce things off of. And sometimes I actually imagine myself talking to you because it helped. Did you do that at all?
I actually was waiting for your response.
See?
Is what I was doing.
Did you not realize I wasn't there, like, legitimately?
No, of course not.
Okay, good. Okay, just making
sure.
Dude,
okay, how do I prepare?
Lost your mind.
We have talked about this in the past. How do I prepare to do my solo episodes?
Is this a quiz?
Yes, it's a quiz. What do I do? What does Elsie do when she's going to get behind the mic and, you know,
talk? Hot water with lemon.
No. Not the stuff.
A very deep breath.
Like, not the physical stuff, like the actual.
She sets an intention.
No. No, the preparation, you know, like we do things differently.
So. Oh, you script it.
Exactly. So I scripted it. I scripted me saying, hello, Jess.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Well, am I supposed to say hello back?
No, because you weren't there.
Why did you script that?
Because you weren't there. It was me showing the audience that you weren't there.
Okay. Now I'm confused, but that's cool.
Yeah. So anyway, I missed you. And then I missed you. But it was a great interview, though. Good job, guys.
Thanks. Good job, guys.
We're going to talk about that here in a little bit while we go into talk about Natalie.
Up next is Christy, actually. It just so happens that there are two sponsors. But in between, when I'm not interviewing new people, I have some of the MoneyCast episodes that I'd like to put up because they're really good and they're about business and money. But Christy's I've already done as well, and she was equally as fascinating. Funny.
I'm so excited. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's going to be great, guys. So do give us a little bit of feedback, and I will get on the ball and do interviews myself about stuff that I want to. I forgot. I had an idea that just came in. Like, I want to talk to. Ooh, I know what it was. But I know I don't. This could be a little bit negative, but I think that I kind of want to go there, though. I kind of want to interview some podcasters that have pod faded.
Oh my God.
I want to get people on the show that were so gung-ho about podcasting and then they've disappeared. They're gone.
I mean, are you going to give them a hard time?
No, I just want to know, like, why? I want to talk about why. Like, so that our audience.
There's always a good reason.
Exactly. But I want our audience to hear that because there's people who, you know, all of a sudden disappear for like 2 years and they're just like, okay, I'm kind of coming back. Like, I keep seeing that. I'm coming back. And there's something to be said for podpating, and there's something that happens when people, you know, start podcasting and they're so gung-ho and their expectations are perhaps not as realistic as the space is and what they want from it. So I want to talk about that.
Well, let's do this. If anyone's listening and you have podfaded and you want to send us audio and save Elsie the trouble of setting up an interview. You could totally do that right now. I don't want to call you out by name, but I know there are people who are either in the process of starting a new one or have changed their brand or have just, you know, pod faded because they just don't like the subject anymore, like me. And send us a voicemail and just tell us what your show was, what your struggles you were having, why you pod faded, whether or not you're going to come back and when. And I mean, there's one in particular. I don't even know if she still listens, but like Kim Trumbo, if you are listening, I would love to hear if you're planning on coming back because you're great. She's a great podcaster.
She's got a great voice.
She just changed her direction a little bit, I think, in her life. Like, not like her whole life changed, but I just mean like.
No, I get it. It's
doing George Generous Giraffe and a bunch of other stuff. So.
Yeah, that's what happened with Elsie's yoga class. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm not teaching yoga right now. So
Right.
You know, so, but yes, send the email over to feedback feedback@shepodcast.com, feedback@shepodcast.com. And if you, you know, have 90 seconds that you can really quickly say, you could use SpeakPipe, which is speakpipe.com/shepodcast, but you only get 90 seconds, so you better be quick about it.
Script it.
Script it. Do it. Do it the Elsie way.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into some news here. News for you.
The news you can use. For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
This news is from Auphonic. Auphonic. And now they have an audio editor for Android, which is essentially at this moment, I think, still in kind of a beta stage from what I gather for this. And so I'm not sure if you guys know what Auphonic is. Auphonic is like it's actually online as well as desktop-based editing software. And it's not editing software. It's kind of, actually, you know what? Maybe it's less editing in most.
I don't even know if I would say editing. Don't you just upload it and say go and it just padoodles and then gives it back to you, right?
Yes. So this is actually called Audio Editor for Android. But the initial product is more a post-production tool. So what it does is that it levels out your audio. So if, you know, Jess and I have different levels, or, you know, when I used Auphonic for our super famous end of the year episode where we had like 30 plus pieces of audio feedback that came to me, then, and it's really hard for me to obviously manually level out all of those pieces of feedback so nobody is louder than another person. So I compiled the whole thing together and I uploaded it over to Auphonic, and Auphonic does magic, and then it delivers back the audio with the audios leveled, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So, right. And it's great because it's a freemium model. You get a certain amount of minutes per month that you can level. And if you want more, you can purchase more minutes. So they have packages. And you can also, for in terms of an app, download for your desktop. I believe it's like somewhere around the $80 to $90, possibly more, for the app for you to download, for you to own it, so that you have it in your computer. And I've been wanting to invest in it. I just keep forgetting. It's like one of those things where you're like, if you have $100 extra, usually going to get an editing software is not the thing that's going to be top of my list. So,
right.
But I've been wanting, I mean, I've really been wanting it. But anyway, this is new. This is a new release. This is for Android. This is for your like tablet and your phone, which is awesome. And it's free. So basically for all of you guys who want to do your podcast on the go and have something with you in your pocket and you are an Android user, you could totally do this now.
Right.
How cool is that? I know. So anyway, you guys should check it out. There'll be a link in the show notes to the blog post about this stuff. And it says about this specific editor, it says Auphonic Edit is a non-destructive audio editor and recorder with focus on ease of use, high quality audio, and stability. In combination with the integrated Auphonic web interface, you can post, process, encode, tag, and publish your podcast, interviews, music recordings on the go with a single click.
Holy
How cool
crap.
Is that? I know, isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So anyway, all of you Android people, I'll happy now.
Auphonic Edit.
Yeah. So did you get a chance to check out this other news on PodTrack?
Yeah, of course.
I'm kind of not very
I signed us up.
For what? For PodTrack.
Well, as a publisher, I put my name in through the agency, and then I put our RSS feed, and then something went wonky, and I took it out.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Let me go back in and just see if it's just like, I put the RSS feed in, and then it gave me one of these like crazy Google code pages, like something has gone horribly wrong. Here's all the code for everything in our website and yours. And I was like, oh my God. And so I took it out.
Oh my God. So, okay, guys, for those of you guys who don't know what PodTrack is, because they've been in the podcasting industry now for like about 10 years or more. And this was one of the first ways that you could measure podcast downloads out there. And what you do is you sign up for the PodTrack service.
Well, no, it's in there now.
You do your RSS feed stuff, you know, just like what Jess did. Mm-hmm. And then you get like a little tracker that I'm not even sure where you're supposed to insert the podcast.
I don't see
thing.
It. Yeah.
But you get a little extra piece of code that you add to, I'm not sure if you do it to your feed, because I never signed up for Podtrac, so I don't really know the ins and outs about it. I don't know if you add it into your feed or if you add it into your individual podcast files, like the episode files, and that's how they are able to track what's happening with your stats and whatnot. But what they've done is that they've currently introduced a ranker of top podcast shows and networks. Mm-hmm. So they put this stuff out there, and I guess the only caveat for this stuff is that you do have to opt in. So it's not like all of a sudden Podtrac is tracking the entirety of all podcasts. They are really tracking the people who choose to participate, just like Jess and I, you know, submitted the feed at this moment into Podtrac so that that process begins. I'm kind of not very excited by this. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the ones that were like the top 10, which is like, duh.
Yeah, right.
Do you want to read the top 10 if you want to see like who they were?
Sure. The top 10 are, and try and hold on to your hats, NPR.
What?
This American Life, Serial, which I thought was part of NPR. And then WNYC Studios is number 3. Aren't they all the same shit, kind of?
What's that? Yeah. That's what I say.
Okay, I thought it was just me. Okay, number 4 is How Stuff Works. Number 5, CBS. Number 6, TWIT. What does that stand for again?
This Week in Tech.
That's right. Thank you. This Week in Tech. I knew that. Number 7, The Moth. Number 8, Roman Mars. Number 9, WBUR. Number 10, Nerdist Industries, which that doesn't surprise me. But what I... So underneath the stats, it says who's included in the ranking. And it says our proprietary podcast industry audience ranking of the top 10 includes producers and publishers who create, own, and distribute podcasts. Groups that do not produce content are not included. In order for a publisher to be considered, they must use the Podtrac system. So this is actually the top 10 ranked using Podtrac.
Yes.
Not the top 10 ever or of all time or even relevant to the industry.
Right.
So how dare they call it a podcast industry audience ranking?
Because it's like, because
it's dreaming.
Like, it's link. That's why. It's link bait, dude. It's link bait. And I think
it certainly is.
Well, because I think that's what it is. So now, like, it's so weird because right now I'm in a position where I know that if I, okay, so if you guys want to go deeper into the stats and why these are perhaps not measured, not, it's not that they're measured correctly, but that there are other podcasters that have more downloads than this, you need to listen to the feed, which is episode number 72, which came out this weekend. So if you guys want to go check that out. I don't know what we talked about, but I do know because we're going to record that in a couple of days. But so, right. But I know for sure that there are going to be some stats that are going to be revealed about indie podcasters that have bigger numbers than these. So that's going to be interesting. And also, you know, it's really, I did not know this, but since this is networks, I was looking at the active shows and whatnot, but dude, check out The Moth is one show. Roman Mars is one show. And they're getting that many downloads because
everyone loves The Moth. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Right. But then I'm just saying, like, and also the Nerdist Industries have 10 podcasts that are active shows. And then I saw CBS has 474 podcasts.
I know. You didn't know that?
That's no. A lot. Like, that's
a lot.
Like, 400 and what are they? I don't even know one.
Making Dad was one of them.
Oh.
Gamer Tag Radio is one of them.
Oh, that's CBS.
Yeah. Okay. CBS Radio.
Okay. I was confused. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, CBS was 474. Okay. Does that?
That
does it. All right. Well, that's all I have to say now.
Listen, right on.
Listen to the other things I said later, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm so underwhelmed by this. It's like, okay, I'll just report on it because it's something that came out, but I'm just like, eh.
I know.
Meh.
It's kind of a shame.
Yeah, that's not good. I actually want to talk more about your interview with Natalie, though, because I thought that was awesome.
Okay.
Well, because we are moving now into a this is like her sponsor advertiser little thing here that we're going to start to talk about now, because Natalie is our sponsor and we had this conversation and it was really interesting to me to be able to hear how passionate she is about masterminds, mm-hmm. you know, because I like them, but I'm so not like so into them. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised she's so into them. You know what I kind of think about it is like, yeah, there's just some stuff that like some stuff is for some people and stuff is for other people. I sort of see masterminds as, and I hope this doesn't insult you, Natalie, I sort of see it as like CrossFit. Like if you're, well, because if you're super into CrossFit, you do it with other people who are super into CrossFit and it really works for you and you lose a lot of weight and you feel really healthy and you feel awesome. And it's the best thing ever. But if you're not into CrossFit, you're just like, that's nice for you, but I'm not necessarily into CrossFit. Does that make sense? So like,
kind of makes sense. Although I have to say that there's,
because I've never been successful in a mastermind. Go ahead.
But you haven't done one the way that she does though. And I think that that's like, that's one of the key things is I completely understand. And I think that this is one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this because of the resistance to go into a mastermind that you like, that I know you're feeling and that I have felt in the past is really sort of a block to be able to kind of do some of this work. And I think one of the reasons that I love the fact that we have Natalie doing these and that it's in alignment with what we're doing here at this moment is because there is a structure to the way that Natalie puts it out there that is both accountable and open. Mm-hmm. So there's an element of, yes, you do have to deliver, but the other thing is that there is an element of being open to the ebbs and flows of the conversation, mm-hmm. you know? So I like that. I like the fact that she also continues to study about human behavior, basically, personality types, what works well when you get together, what really works for people when you start to work with them or not, and how to be able to discern the type of chemistry inside of a group. Mm-hmm. Which I feel is incredibly important. So going to bizchicks.com/shepodcasts and start to kind of the conversation with Nat or read what happens with the masterminds. And if you really want to step into this hub of conversation and to take action on something, it's something that you can absolutely do. And I guarantee you, ladies out there and gent, oh, it's ladies. It's just ladies. Ladies, not the gents that you guys are listening to, I know. But after going to Podcast Movement, I guarantee that there's going to be a little fire in your belly to take action. And that's going to be the best time for you to sign up for that. Mm-hmm. I think anyway. I'm getting all excited for you guys, even though
agree,
like,
though.
Like,
I totally agree.
I said it'll be so good.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So that was it. So you guys go over to bizchicks.com/shepodcasts. That is bizchix.com/shepodcasts so that you can sign up right after Podcast Movement and get your shiz together, people, with her. All right. Do you remember those of you listening, I'm not talking to Josh right this moment. You guys listening to us.
It's hard to discern that.
I know, right? We both applied for Work It and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Did we talk about that online?
We did because you were telling me you got to apply. Have you applied? And I was like, no, we didn't. I haven't applied yet. And you had applied and I hadn't applied. And yeah, so I was very wishy-washy about the whole thing.
You were.
But then
Which is amusing.
It was amusing, yes. And then I did it. Basically, I think the day after we recorded. So on that Thursday, after we recorded, I went ahead and I barely made it under the bullet to apply for this Work It thing. But we got emails, didn't we, Jess?
Yes, we did.
So I got in!
So Elsie was invited, and I was not. Elsie, I thought that we were going to sign up under the She Podcast as far as a company, but you actually signed up under Libsyn because otherwise I would have done it under my agency.
Yes.
But so I did it under She Podcast, but that's okay. I mean, I just figured they would let me in just because of that. They didn't.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's fine.
But they
it's totally fine.
That I know, and it's and it was really weird because it's like all of a sudden. Oh, but here's what happened though. I got two emails. I got one that I was accepted, and then I got one that declined me.
That's right. I almost forgot. Yeah. So like first they told her yes, and then 20 minutes later they told her no.
Yeah. Which was
so friggin' weird.
Yeah. So then I was like, what? So that was very strange. But it was really weird because that's what happened on my email. So I got like yes and then I got no. But then when I read the email because of the, you know, because I usually check my email on the phone, the first one that I saw was the no because you kind of read like that in when you're in your email. You don't use, you know, you read the earliest, the thing that you just got.
Right.
And so I read the no first and I was like, ah. And then I kept reading and I was like, what? So I didn't have like a letdown effect kind of, because if I would have, if somebody said, yes, you're going, and then you get another meal saying, no, you're not, then it would have kind of been sad. But I kind of wasn't, because I had already was like, ah, I guess I'm not going. And so the bonus was that, oh, I got accepted. Oh my God. So I did email them back and I was like, oh, what's the scoop? Because I got two emails.
Right.
And they said, yes, you are accepted. And so I was really, really proud of myself. I was very, very happy. And I thought, wow, am I like the only one? And that's why I was like hoping to get something from someone out there in the She Podcast group that said that they were going as well, that weren't necessarily what we call procasters, right? That are sort of a little bit more in the serious audio editing and going into journalism school and working for radio and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So when I got accepted, I immediately started to make plans to see how all of this would work out. And sadly, with the way that things are going here in my life, because it was June at that moment, there were so many things that we had pre-planned for that amount of time that I am unable to go. And so I had to decline. But then
the most amazing thing happened.
Then I emailed them and I said, I'm so sorry, I can't go. But why don't you ask my partner, Jessica Kupferman, to go for me? And they said, yes.
You crazy lady, you. What have you done?
And so that's what I did. And they totally were like, okay.
She unleashed me.
I totally did. So I am so excited for you, Jess.
Thanks.
Dude, you are representing all of the indie podcasters on the planet.
I know. It's scary.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's a responsibility that I felt you were actually more qualified for, being such an indie lady yourself.
And you're going to have to channel me. You're going to have to channel me.
Because you and I sometimes do share a brain.
Yes, we do. We totally do channel each other. And then, yes, I do. I agree.
I mean, like, because there will be, it's very weird actually how that happens where, and I don't know if it's because she's intuitive or because I'm easily read, which is probably true because many times people can read my mind, which means I'm probably an open book. But also, it could just be from working together, but oftentimes, like, we'll know what the other person's thinking or feeling, like, not just like, oh, I know how Elsie will feel about this, because that just means I know her well. But often we'll both go, hey, I added this to the show notes. It's the same thing.
Yep.
It's like twins that show up wearing the same dress all the time.
It totally.
We do that all the time. But yeah.
So
I'm very weird.
I know. And it's going to be very exciting for you to do this. And yeah. So I'm stoked, of course.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. I'm not sure which part I'm the most nervous about. I think that I'm going to ask or say something stupid is what I'm the most worried about. Not because I think I'm stupid, but just because what if there's like a lingo or an underlying understanding that they have that we or I don't? But perhaps that's, you know, one of the reasons we want to be there.
Right. And I think what I want especially to experience too is the experience of crafting a show. I think that would be really, that's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to go. And I think it would be really awesome for you as well to be able to kind of get into the depths of content and creating a show as an entity and what it takes to do that, to refine it, rather than, and I'm not dissing this in any way, shape, or form, but the way that most of us kind of approach this at times, which is get an intro and an outro and then do an interview in the middle and call it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to be able to kind of have a finesse in there to create a show. So that I feel I'm really happy about. And the other thing that I kind of am excited about for you too is that they are going to be talking about monetization. I mean, that's part, I don't know if
looking at the schedule right now.
No, but did you get the survey?
Yes, but you want to hear something hilarious?
What?
You're going to laugh.
Oh, no.
So hard. Hold on. I have to even look up how it was phrased to me because you're going to see what a true egomaniac I really am.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so it said, we're delighted to offer you the spot from the wait list. This contains some essential instructions you need to confirm your spot. Confirm my spot. I reply back and it says, done. I'm so excited and thank you very much. Then... tell me if you wouldn't make the same mistake.
Oh my God.
Then she writes back and she says, received. Looking forward to meeting you next month. We do have one additional request. A few of the panels we're putting together will be based loosely around you in capital letters, around your questions and the challenges you're facing. Please help us program these sessions by answering this survey. It's just a request, not a requirement. You can answer some or all of them. And I thought,
oh, I get
me?
Yeah.
She must mean the individual podcaster. She must mean she podcasts.
Oh my
God. Want to know what we want, what we're doing. And then the first question, it says work at programming survey. Question one, women working with women. I went, never mind. That's not what she meant.
Oh my God. That is so hilarious.
Because yeah, the first question is, do you have an experience working with other women, you know, that is negative or positive? And I was like, well, hell yeah, I do. But she's not asking me.
Right.
It has nothing to do with me. It's not based on me. But I was so flattered for a moment there.
I know. You were like, oh my God, you?
Yeah. Mwah? I was all Miss Piggy. Mwah?
Totally.
Oh my God. It was so embarrassing.
Okay. I get it. I totally get it. And so, but see, those questions, I actually didn't even answer the questions because at that time when they sent that to me, I was so on the fence. I was waiting for one last possible response. Mm-hmm. You know, one last possible response. And so that didn't pan out. And so that's one of the reasons I didn't fill out the questionnaire. But when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And so when I've seen the panels too, there's conversation that's going to be happening around monetization and making money, you know, and all that fun stuff. And I think that we and you as the representative can really bring to light the other things that people are doing, you know, the other ways that there's monetizing happening in the space that have nothing to do with download numbers.
And that have nothing to do with advertisers and have nothing to do with corporate strategy.
Exactly.
Sponsorship, but everything to do with just audience support and influence.
Absolutely.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah. And then that's actually one of the key things that I feel public media is really lacking, because there is this incredibly beautiful audio piece that is put out. The work is really resonant in people's ears and whatnot, but there's an element of detachment from it because you can get really excited, like the Serial people. You know, the Serial people, their fan base was huge, but they created their own stuff. Like, they went into Reddit and created a whole conversation going on in Reddit. They created their own podcast about Serial. They were talking to each other about Serial, but they weren't talking to the host. They weren't part of Serial. So,
do you think Serial fans would still be the same Serial fans without Sarah? Do you think anybody could take her place?
You know what? I don't
Sarah
know.
Fans.
We would have,
and that's the thing I was just thinking is, like, when you work on a show like Radio Lab or Serial or Another Round, like, I mean, for Another Round, I do think they're fans of Heaven and Tracy.
Yes,
but like, when you're a producer of that show, like, do you feel like those are your fans? You don't. I don't think you feel like those are your fans and your audience.
Mm. I think there are some people that you will see there that is the
like
case.
Two dope queens. Yes. The Moth. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're fans of The Moth. I don't think they care who's producing it, even if it is done well.
Well, I think that the majority of people possibly not. But then there's a lot of the hardcore peeps, you know, like the people who are real big fans of, like, let's say the Star Trek you know, Enterprise or whatever, all that kind of stuff, or Star Wars and whatnot. And what they do is that they really dive into the people, like, who's the producer? They produce this, you know, this, now they're going to be directing this. And they know, like, who, like, with the Julian Fellowes people, like, people who like Julian Fellowes love the majority of the stuff that he writes. And they buy his things. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is that element from the hardcore fan base, but there's also a lot of people who perhaps, like, I don't know a lot of my favorite shows that I like to watch. Like,
yeah, even, the executive producer.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Why, like, would you?
Right. That, but the majority. But there's a lot of people who are super, super, super into whatever it is that they're consuming. And they do, like, Randy does that stuff like that, where, like, I'll mention a movie and he goes, well, you know who produced that? And I'm like, no. He's like, the guy that did this and that, or you know who wrote that script? And I'm like, no.
I usually know the writers more than the producers.
I don't. So,
and oftentimes I will notice, though, when the producer is in the cast. A lot of times, yeah, like, I'll notice, like, oh, Steve Carell, executive produces The Office. That's cool.
Yeah, well, that's really cool if you start to notice that like that. But what I'm saying is, like, for the most part, like, with somebody like me, who, yeah, is just a consumer, like, I don't really...
blind consumer.
I'm a completely blind consumer. Yeah. Whereas with podcasts, it's different because I know them intimately. Like, I know the indie podcasters are doing their own stuff, you know? And usually, because there's this level of intimacy, we will say, hey, Jess, I'm starting a new project. I'm doing, mm-hmm, this, why, and hey, guys, I'm doing this. Do you want to come check it out? Mm-hmm. And usually what happens with podcast consumers is that they'll go listen, you know, like, if I'm on a different podcast and I tell you guys, which I'm going to tell you guys later, you will go, like, there's people who do that. Like, I listened to you when you were on this podcast and I'm like, wow, you did. So people do that. So, but that's, I feel that that's a very unique thing to the indie space, where we really cultivate that one-on-one relationship. And that's kind of what I want you to kind of bring to the table over there, so that they can see, how do you, you know, interact with your audience? Like, what are the ways that you can create a community that you curate and that you grow, rather than let them go do them their own stuff over, mm-hmm, there in the interwebs?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be really cool. I did notice that a lot of the schedule is not about business and monetization, which is normal, actually, because most of these people aren't really, they're not part of the sales team. They're not part of the marketing team. They're doing the actual show. So it's like speed dating for women podcasters, and then how to be heard, how to listen, the art of the ask, which is, I guess, like, getting guests, pitching publicists, like, that kind of thing. And then doing good interviews, stations of the pod, I guess. What's this? Oh, metrics. That'll be interesting. And then journalism in podcast form, which is interesting. How to bump your career, going solo, which is, I guess, oh, the Association of Independence in Radio convenes an honest conversation about getting your work out there. I still don't even feel like that applies to individual podcasters, because it's Association of Independence in Radio.
Yeah.
And we're not in radio.
No, we're not in radio.
We're not in radio. So anyway, I feel very blessed to be able to go, and I feel very excited about the stuff I'm going to learn and bring back to the show, and I'll do like a full report
when I get back.
I'm
so excited.
I'm really nervous.
Dude, you're going to have to
Snapchat. I will have to Snapchat and maybe a little Facebook Live action.
Oh,
if I'm
my
allowed.
God. You know what I just thought? If possible. Oh, my gosh. I have to see what the date is. Because we could do like a total through time and space watching. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's
we could
have
like a She Podcasts. Like, we all get together.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
all of us that are not there. Not you having to broadcast this for us.
No,
because
it's
going to be broadcast. So maybe we can have like a couple of dates where we will all convene together and watch together and comment. Maybe we should have a thread in the Facebook group, in the She Podcast Facebook group, where we can talk about this stuff, and I can relay conversations to you and text them to you so that you can ask questions.
Sure.
That would be awesome. Jessica Kupferman stands up and she goes, this is a question from our She Podcast community from, you know, XYZ.
Yes.
She says, wouldn't that be rad?
Like, if they let me do it, if it's closed, true. I can't do it. So I just have to find out, really. Yeah. But we can try.
That's amazing.
We can certainly try.
Maybe we could do that.
That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's a segue, but you'll have to stick with me here for a second. So I had a podcaster who was going to sign up with the agency, and she was questioning whether or not she wanted to sign up because since Elsie does all the news, she thought maybe I wasn't keeping up with the industry news the way that Elsie did. But I do read Hot Pot and I'm a Hot Pot Pro subscriber, and I do have a Google alert about pot. I read all the stuff. I am totally 100% on it. I just usually, it's funny, like I let Elsie pick the articles because I feel like I get super excited about headlines. I'm a clickbait. I am the worst. I will click on anything and I will skim it and then send it to Elsie and she'll go, yeah, but they tried to do this 6 years ago and blah, 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 blah. And I'll be like, I'm an idiot. Never mind. And so I tend to let her pick the articles. Usually, like when it's something like the pod track thing, like it's everywhere to the point where I know she's going to want to talk about it. So I don't even bother putting it in there. And I already know what I'm going to say. Like I've read what she's put in there, but I don't necessarily pick it because I let her pick it because she's just been in the industry longer, the podcasting industry longer. I'm also reading about advertising and marketing in general and digital marketing in general. And even though I haven't done it lately, when there's something new about digital marketing that I think pertains to us, that's when I'm adding the articles.
Yep.
And that's when she'll be like, over to you, Jess. I haven't done it in a while because this is actually right now is the time of the upfronts. I haven't really seen a lot about podcasting and upfronts, maybe one or two articles. They're not really worth mentioning, but a lot of TV stuff is happening right now. Maybe podcasting will get more news once they're over. And for those of you who don't know what the upfronts are, it's when all the advertisers get together and the networks kind of like do a dog and pony show to get them to advertise on the new shows, the recurring shows, tell you what's canceled, that's not coming back. So it's kind of like, oh, you guys are advertisers. Here's this and this and this and this and this and this. And we're not having this anymore. We're not having this anymore. But they wait and announce it all at one time. And so the rest of us have to find out during the advertising season, like, what we've committed to that's going to be canceled that we're watching, unfortunately. But yeah, so anyway, I found myself having to, on some level, defend my stance in the industry. And I have, for anybody else who's listening, I have a couple explanations for that I think are valid. Okay. One is that Elsie and I joke that I'm Adam Carolla and she's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. She's Dr. Drew, I'm Adam Carolla. But listen, first of all, I just want to say this. There would be no show without Adam. Not that Elsie couldn't do the show by herself, because of course she could. It might be less amusing. But also, I think that you need the clown. It's kind of like Laurel and Hardy. Like, if one is just funny all the time, it's exhausting. If one is just serious all the time, it's exhausting. I think that Elsie helps me look and feel smarter. And I think I loosen her up to a point where she and I are both entertaining and informative to listen to. And almost every single one of our iTunes reviews says that exact thing, that it's funny and entertaining as well as informative. And that's a rare thing, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say that. That is not because I'm a clown. It's not because I'm goofy. It's not because I just sit here waiting to pick on Elsie. It's more of a skill than you would think, I hate to say. I mean,
it truly is a skill.
It's more of a skill than you think. Listen to some other co-hosted shows about tech. Listen to some comedy co-hosted shows and listen to some, you know, and then listen to us again. The comedy is not necessarily scripted and pre-thought of, but it's a skill to know how far to push. It's a skill to know what's appropriate. It's a skill to know your co-host and how to make Elsie laugh. I know what's going to make her laugh and what not to joke about. I mean, whether she realizes that or not. I'm fully aware of what's going on the entire time. I'm not just here for her to bounce brilliance off of. But not that I'm not being, no, not that was mean. But like, I'm just saying, like, this part that I do is a skill. And then also, like, you know, when it comes to the comedian stuff too, we've said before, like, we each have our role. And her role is really social media and community. That's what she does for Libsyn. My role is to worry about, like, a little bit more of the business and the tech aspect, so you don't see me as much necessarily in the group. It doesn't mean that I'm not learning and knowing and growing right along with her. It just means that I'm a little more behind the scenes of the business of doing stuff. And also, I mean, I have a very strong, long background in sales and marketing and advertising, not in podcasting. She has spent the last 10 years on some form of podcast. I've only been podcasting for 3. So this show is really where she shines. Work It is a thing where Elsie would shine. So the other part of this and why, and I'm not, I must sound defensive, but I'm just making an explanation here, is that another part of why I make it sound like that is because, so as a little girl, and I would say my first friends, aside from Jenny Santos when I was 3, my first friends were boys because I had a big mouth. I've always had a big mouth. And so I was always friends with girls that already had a best friend and like they didn't need another best friend or whatever. So like I ended up hanging out with boys who didn't do that best friend bullshit. And then as I got older into elementary and middle school, I was bullied. As in, like, they either didn't like me, they didn't want me around. And I was a year younger than other kids, and you would think that that wouldn't be that big of a deal. But when you're 7 and everyone else is 8, when you're 8 and everyone else is 9, turning 10, like, it can be a big deal. I was immature, and again, big mouth, only Jew, and I stuck out. And so I didn't really learn until college what it was like to have a what a true women's friendship or girls' friendship could be like. I did have one girlfriend in high school that was like what I'm about to describe. But for the most part, I didn't really have that until I was like 19 or 20. And it was the first time I had girls that would be like, in fact, they were so nice and positive and uplifting that often I felt they were building me up for some kind of fall. That's how nice they were. They were just like, oh my God, Jessica, you're so this and you're hilarious and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I would be like, because I didn't believe them.
Dude,
I truly didn't believe them. I really thought they would just go do without me, or they were just building me up so they could talk about me behind my back. No, the only things they ever said behind my back was the same shit they were saying to my face about what an awesome person I was. I couldn't even believe it. So it took me a long time to get the hang of that kind of friendship. And when I developed this friendship with Elsie, but really any friendship, I mean, that's what you'll know, just if those of you who are listening who are friends with me, you know this already, that I'm very good at pulling out the positives in other people and talking about it a lot. I do that with Elsie because I've learned that when you have a woman friendship, that's what you do. You're their number one cheerleader. You celebrate your differences. You push them forward. You don't care about yourself. And sometimes it works out where they think to push you forward as well. Maybe it doesn't. Sometimes it does. Usually it does work out that way. And that's, I'm hoping, why Elsie was like, hey, I can't go, but ask Jess to go. I didn't ask her. I had no idea. She didn't even tell me she couldn't go till she told me she already signed me up. I didn't even get a chance to be like, no, ask this person instead. No. She was like, Jess, you're going. And I was like, fuck that. You're going. I don't want to go. You go. I mean, I do want to go. Of course I want to go.
I just could not do it. It was so like, it was just, there was no other choice for me.
I mean, there really had to be no other choice because you guys, I was like, you will go. I will buy your hotel room. I will watch your children.
Oh my God.
Remember? I was like, they can stay with me. I will watch them. I'll pay for your train. You drive here. I'll pay for your train from Philly to New York. It doesn't cost that much. You can get a boutique hotel room. It won't cost that much. Let me pay for something. And it didn't even turn out to be about money. What did turn out to be, which not to make a right turn.
Right.
Elsie doesn't drive.
Well, yeah, there's that.
I didn't know you didn't have a fucking driver's license all this time.
Well, even
I should have put it together.
Oh, right. But even if that was the case, though, so this is a whole, but because there's so much happening here right now.
Yeah, like that, Randy has a job. And, yeah, I mean,
and
of
the
course.
Girls, and then we have, there's like a wedding happening that we're going to be, we're actually kind of be actually going to be moving to Pittsburgh for a month. So yeah, there's right. a level of preparation that we're leaving actually on either the 22nd of June or the 24th of June. Mm-hmm. Those are either one of those two dates is when we're traveling, and we're not going to come back till August. So there is a level of preparation and a level of like, this is just, it's just too much. It's too much for us. And then we're going to go to Chicago right afterwards. And then, right. you know, so anyway, that's what was happening.
Yeah. So anyway, so it didn't work out for her, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think on this show I purport myself to be an equal partner. And that was apparent to me when I had a potential client say, but are you really into podcasting, or is this just something fun you're doing until you do the next business? But no, like, I'm really into it. It's not the same exact way I'm into it. The way I'm into it is this puzzle. I like a good puzzle. I do not like putting them together, but I love a mental challenge. And right now, the one my brain is stuck on is how to get podcasters to make money for doing what they do. I have been stuck on it since I came back from having that baby. I mean, even before that, when I first started my podcast, and it was clear to me that like people liked me podcasting more than they really liked me doing like other stuff, like websites and whatever. So I was just like, wow, but how am I going to make money? And so it's not just a puzzle for me. It's a puzzle for all of us. How are we going to make a decent living? Well, obviously it works. Sponsors and advertisers work on niche shows like this one where we're not, don't even know what our CPM is, to be honest with you. But I know that there's a return of like, what did we figure out? Like something like 1,000%?
Yeah.
100%?
Yeah.
A ridiculous return on investment from whatever advertisers we've had, not just the current ones, but past ones too.
And you know what? You're right. We have to figure out what our CPM would be based upon what our rates are right now for our sponsors and how many downloads we have. We'll have to figure out what that CPM is.
Yeah.
Just for funsies.
Just for funsies. I can probably figure it out. But anyway, So anyway, to make a long story short, I'm stuck on that puzzle until it gets solved. And when it does get solved, I want to be there to sort of light the path so that other people don't have to solve this problem for themselves. I want to help you guys solve this problem. It's all I think about all day. It's the only reason I'm pitching companies big and small and signing podcasters big and small is because it's a giant puzzle. And I want to figure out, you know, how big can it go if you're not counting CPM? How big can it go if you're a small podcast and you're not counting CPM? Like, I don't consider Elsie and my show to be very large, but I know I represent smaller ones and they already have sponsors. I've already gotten them sponsors. I don't know what his, you know, what some of their CPMs are either. I shouldn't say he, because there's a couple of them actually that are small they're already getting. But yeah, there's all different shows I'm representing. There's one show I'm pitching that hasn't launched yet, because she has a huge audience, but she doesn't want to do a show until she has a sponsor for it. That's a big experiment. I only took it on because I was just like, sure, let's see how it goes. My gut says it's not going to fly, but let's see how it goes. I'm in.
Right.
Can I sell a show that hasn't launched yet? Why not? Why the hell not? She's a popular person like where she is, so why not? Let's give it a go. So anyway, the point I'm making, I guess, is that, well, there's two points. One is that I'm not just a clown on this show. Maybe I should talk more, but it just so happens that this show's topic isn't necessarily all about marketing and advertising. I do want to start talking about it more, which is why I started the interviews, because I want to start interviewing you about how you're making money. And so we can all learn from that. That's all I'm saying. The end. What do you think, Elsie?
That's good. You summed it up very nicely. We were talking about this before we started recording, and I thought, like, what tends to happen a lot of the time too is that in shows, you know, there are certain shows like this one that it's a specific type of show. There is an element of entertainment that happens in the show. There's an element of like pull the curtain back type of thing that happens in the show.
Yes, yes.
We don't get behind the mic and put on our, you know, suits and high heel shoes and take over the boardroom. Right. That's not what the style of this is. It's another element of it. And it's actually what resonates with a lot of people. And just because we have this banter, just because we tend to, you know, sometimes go off the rails with things, sometimes, you know, we whine about stuff. Sometimes we say eloquent things like, I don't know. That's kind of sucky, you know, right. And stuff like that. That doesn't necessarily mean that neither Jessica or myself are not intelligent, smart, articulate, that we work with our clients in a specific way and that we get stuff done. It's just that, dude, do you have to constantly be, you know, on it and having these insanely crazy conversations and be like on all the time? I don't think so.
No, but I do understand why this person questioned it totally.
Oh, I get it. I understand as well. And I think, you know, I always, and I will be the first to mention, it's like, I really don't like to talk about money. I don't like to talk about the business aspect of podcasting, like as a subject matter. But I have to say that whenever I do listen to podcasts and I get super excited about them or my clients and whatnot, I am the first to come up like with like a bazillion reasons and ways in which they can make it sustainable and valuable, because I connect with people I am not a business person. I don't resonate with that. Like, you know, when it was really interesting when you were talking with Natalie and she was like, she just loves business. She loves business, you know, and she really lives there. And I think that that's great. She's constantly thinking about ways to create businesses and make money. Whereas that's not where I resonate. I resonate with content and creation. But that doesn't mean that there isn't an aspect of business attached to that. But I go for it in a different way. It's like you have to coax me through the creative. And then you'll get like all of this ROI, right? Because it's like, oh my God, that was amazing. So it's a different way of working through things. I just don't resonate with that specific point.
What you don't resonate with, I think, is making money for money's sake.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I think it is, because with Boss Jack, we were pretty creative about the way that we did those sponsors. But like with Natalie and Christy, there's been a side of you that's come out that really, I'm going to stick with that, has nothing to do with making money. But I think the kick of it for you is finding the most creative way to do it. Like, I think you're getting off on just trying to figure out fun ways of advertising them.
Yeah.
And like,
I totally am.
And like, who couldn't use that to make money? You don't even care about that part. I see it as a cash cow.
Right.
Because I'm just like, let's pick Elsie's brain about how to be creative about this guy or this girl or this lady or this advertiser. She doesn't even care. Give her a project. Make her sell a leaf to a forest and she'll figure it out why that leaf is unique and that forest can't live without it. And she will sell it to you in a way that a salesperson couldn't even dream up.
Well, I love, that's the, what I love, you know, but again, I have to be connected to the leaf, you know, it's not just any leaf.
Well, you have to see the value of the leaf.
Right. Exactly. I like that, the value of the leaf. So anyway, that's like, so.
That's so funny, but that's very true. So like, I'm going to have to figure out how to monetize her brain. Yeah, it's true. Like, you are much more of a salesperson than I ever thought you were going to be, and you would deny it to your grave.
I do. I actually do deny it. I deny it. But I, I think it's about, it's just the frame.
Because it's about value.
It's about value.
I know!
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I do think it's about value, but I also think it's a very valuable skill. That's all. It's a very, very valuable skill to be able to do that in a way that's so seamless that people don't even notice. Did you guys even notice we did a spot for Natalie earlier?
I know.
And the whole thing about masterminds and why. Yeah, I mean, that was a spot. She paid for that spot.
She paid for that spot. Well,
and you know what? It's paid off, too.
I know.
Like,
that's
not
great.
To speak for Natalie.
I'm so
but
excited.
But her ad and Christy, too, they both said that it's immediately started having an effect, which is great. But like, it's something to think about. Why? Not just because we're influential over you guys, but because we can really stand behind what they do and see and talk about what a valuable service it is. So, like, that's important. Very important.
It totally is. I saw, you know, now kind of segueing into the rest of the conversation here, I did see a post that just came up from somebody thanking Christy.
Yes.
And I think that that's one of those things that blows my mind when people just have to say thank you and they have to get on the group and they say, oh my God, this is amazing. And it just makes me, and here's the thing too, it's like the relationship with Christy, who is our second sponsor, by the way, it's from teampodcast.com, is the fact that there is a level of knowledge to the way that she works with podcasters that is above and beyond getting stuff done. So you know what I mean? Because there are plenty of people. In fact, I can almost guarantee that you can find a very inexpensive VA that could do everything that Team Podcast does.
Yeah.
You know, like all the stuff, like show notes or audio editing.
It's so funny because like the more consulting clients I have, I swear I send people to Christy like 3 times a week because they're so overwhelmed and they're just like, I'm not getting any promotion out because all I do is put my show up and then I'm exhausted. And I'm like, here's a person who will do it for you. The whole effing thing.
Yep.
And it's not even that expensive. And they're like, thank God. I swear I send her like 3 people a week.
No, it's crazy because everybody's looking for this. And again, you know, the bonus aspect of it is that she knows podcasting. And just like when you were talking about the client that was talking to you about, well, are you really into this or whatever? Christy yeah. totally is, because she, that's yes. another aspect. She really, really knows podcasting. She actually knows all of the different like hosting systems out there, all the different ways that people configure to get their podcast out. She, and that's a level of wisdom that a lot of new podcast companies out there, or possibly some VAs, have no idea about. So it's easy to be able to have some, to outsource your show notes, or it's easy to outsource your images, or even the scheduling of your podcast, or your publishing of your podcast. But there is no overall knowledge of how the whole entire system works, which I think is why Team Podcast is so stellar with this stuff, with added insight to, you know what, maybe you should take the link and put it over here instead of this. Maybe you should optimize this part for this type of consumption, because she knows what the behavior of podcast consumers are as well. So keep that in mind. So if you need help.
I also have been noticing, yeah, that people are not just... They're really most blown away so far by the fact that she will not just edit and put your show up for you, but then also do all the promotion, because that's for most people the piece that's missing. If you're one of those people where like you're doing all the editing and then you're putting your show out and then you're too exhausted to promote it, like Christy does that too. You can only just be podcasting. It's not expensive for her to just grab the thing, edit it, put the bumpers on, put it in Libsyn, and then schedule your social media so people start to listen to it. Anyway, I'm done ranting.
Well, that was an actual sponsor break. So
you didn't even know it, did you? We snuck it in there on you. That's the genius of Elsie. I'm sure they knew, because we were talking about that.
Teampodcast.com. All right.
So I also want to thank again John at Audio Editing Solutions and Rebecca Council, CLR Virtual Connection. She's a social media manager also, and she's been helping us quite a great deal.
So I was on the Slumberland podcast, because I get an opportunity, obviously, to go on people's shows, not as much as I used to, because I don't have as much time. But when I do go on shows, I'm so excited. So this one was really great, because Slumberland is an episodic narrative about a man exploring a mysterious island community somewhere up north. And actually, my friend Tom is the one who, he made up the story. So he basically comes up with the story. Every episode, he comes up in his own head. And I got to meet him via Libsyn, and I was on a show before. He gave me a small, tiny little part, like a couple of scenes. And then he happened to come in to Asheville and came and saw me. And we hung out with the girls and went to, he went to the library with us. It was so funny. So cute. He played puzzles with Maymay and Hunty. But it was so cute. But anyway, so he hung out, and then we were discussing it, and he goes, I want to do an episode on the character that I played before. And I was like, cool. So he wrote an entire episode just for me, basically. He sent me the script and I did it, and he published it out. And it's so fun. I mean, it's so fun to be able to do a little bit of voice acting to some degree, you know, and it was so exciting. And I was also on the Productive Woman podcast, which with Laura McLellan, and it was really great, because I got a chance to, of course, go deep into the bullet journaling thing. But also, since it's all about productivity, I shared all kinds of systems and things that work for me, and what I do when I wake up, and how I stay productive, and what doesn't work, and my belief around productivity as well. So it's really fun. You guys should definitely listen to that.
Yay.
So, yay. But we have another article that I think is going to be really awesome here. This one's on DigiDay, from DigiDay.com. And one of the reasons that I brought this up is basically to talk a little bit more about advertising and monetization, really, because this is the title of the interview, or the article. It's called How Empire Magazine Came to Reign Over Podcasts Too. And the reason I put this in the show notes is because I love how they changed making money to align with their show. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, how do you make money from a podcast question, which is what we get a lot, but how do I make money with this podcast?
Right, because every show is different.
Exactly. And so here's something that I thought was, oh my God, this is so great. So one of the headlines in the article says that it changed the commercial model. And it says it has held Q&A sessions where it has recorded podcasts in front of live audience at the Prince Charles Cinema in London, but it plans to change for these and run them monthly. In September, it's running Empire Live, a week-long film festival of screenings, script reading, and podcast recordings. Revenue is coming from show sponsors like AEG, parent company, and O2, as well as ticket sales. So I guess...
So they used to have brands, mm-hmm. but now they're doing events to drive revenue.
Yes, they are.
Very
interesting. Very interesting. And the other thing, too, that they're doing here is that they're really selling the live events as the main source of driving revenue, but also the sponsors are not necessarily for the show, they're for the event.
That's right.
So that's where the event is actually the big sell.
That's right.
And it really works well. And the other thing that I really like about this is obviously, I guess you can get the idea that what this is about because it's a magazine that has an established base. And then they basically talk about this is for the Empire Film Podcast. So you know that it's about movies. So I really like the fact that they're doing a film festival. How cool is that? Where they're screening this stuff. They're reading, they're script reading and podcast recordings, which all align with what the fans want to engage with. So it's not like let's all get together and have a conference.
Right. Or it's not a conference.
It's not a conference.
It's a festival.
It's a festival.
A festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah. And so I think that that really shifts things around because with so many of our podcasts, how cool would it be to create some kind of live event that isn't really just a conference, that it's maybe
the South by Southwest.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, podcasters.
Yeah, totally. Or even like at a smaller degree, you know, like something like Burning Man, which is like, obviously that's huge, but a smaller iteration of something along those lines where it is more about the art or the community or just simply the attendance of it.
Podcasters are performers, not teachers and speakers.
Yeah, most of the time.
I
absolutely. Yeah. You're
you
right.
You know who couldn't benefit from that? All the Entrepreneur on Fire.
Exactly.
Like it's the dream to have a podcast. Well, that's like LA Podfest, right? It's like,
yep.
I mean, I know that's not like South by Southwest, but I'm just saying like, you know, those business shows and all the speakers that you see every time, everywhere, it won't be for them. It's for those of you who talk about books and history and sports and comedy and podcasting even, or life coaching, or, you know, if you're the goddess next door, right?
Totally.
And that's a great idea.
I think that it's awesome. And I think that that's also resonates with things like what Dani Pena from Gamer Time Radio was doing too back in the day, is that they were having those parties. They would sell parties and people would get together and kind of get together for the community themselves, but they would play video games. They would have opening
and
parties.
And there's music.
And there's music. That's right. So like the video game companies are the ones that would get together with the gamer tag peeps because they had they had their audience as well. So there was a sense of like sponsorship through the event, but it would also not only like nobody felt like they were being sold to. And I think my biggest thing about podcasting events, or at least not just podcasting event, but live events that are attached to a podcast, is that at this moment, I feel that they're only in the conference realm. And there are a few of, obviously, the procasters are doing the live events where you do attend and you watch a show and it is entertaining and whatnot. But I feel what's missing is what a lot of the real hardcore niche events that go around like Comic-Con or Dragon Con or, you know, all of those that are purely for the fanaticals, the people who love science fiction, the people who just love comics. Mm-hmm. They're attending for the event itself. They're not attending to go learn something and come back. They want the experience. And I feel that we can really benefit from cultivating that around podcasting.
I agree. So, totally agree.
You guys should definitely read that, How Empire Magazine Came to Its Reign podcast. It has a lot of really interesting insight of how they did it or how they are monetizing. And it's not really necessarily focusing in on sponsorships as we know them at this moment. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yay.
I mean, are there any kinds of shows that you feel like couldn't make money with an event?
Couldn't. Let me see.
Like, who couldn't?
Who couldn't? That's a really hard question because I don't, I can come up with an idea for, I think, you know what, something
it's
like.
Harder to always, I mean, I could come up with ideas of who could all day long.
Yeah, I know. I think who couldn't, maybe somebody, like an event. I think maybe something like, you know, like the feed, like our, my podcast with Rob. It's very news oriented.
It's true.
I don't think that, it would be an event of like us doing the feed live, I guess, you know, but that would be the thing. It would just be that.
But I mean, getting Libsyn's audience together, all no, your that's fans a, and your event, yeah. I mean, you could do it.
We
it
could
just
do
would
that.
Be challenging.
Yeah, it would be challenging to make it like more like a fun event. I guess, yeah, if you think about it in the scope of not just being around the feed and more of a Libsyn thing, it would be, yeah, it would totally open it up. But I almost can't think of anything because I was like, okay, let's see. All the parenting type podcasts, all the mother type podcasts, they can totally create an event for mothers. From a variety of different points of view.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, from so many different angles. It's
anything
crazy.
From a retreat to a parenting.
Yeah, sales stuff, like for kids, like something just for the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different things that you can do with that kind of stuff. Like somebody for, like the entertainment ones would be kind of super fun to do. Obviously, based on whatever it is that the genre that they're pushing for that they love, Star Trek or a specific TV show. Like for Downton Abbey, how cool would it be to do like some kind of like high tea experience?
I would
or
love that.
Or something like that.
Oh my God.
And I know, you know, Craftlit does, Heather Ordover does her trips where she takes people over to England.
Yes! And they that's do, what I'm talking
how
about.
How cool is that? Like that's like a tour of the different places inside of literature. That's phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. So, yeah, there's like those kinds of things and how to, so I don't know, there's just so much. There's so much in terms of the live interaction and driving more from listeners, which I think that you can't, again, this is something that we as listeners can do. I mean, sorry, we as indie podcasters can do rather than the larger podcasts. Something like, I guess, you know, of course they've done like This American Life has been done live. There's a lot of the procasters that are doing live events, like live shows of this. I think it's harder to do an event like we're talking about where it is multidimensional, that is reliant on the audience of the podcast, but goes beyond it. Mm-hmm. My other thing that I really want to create or grow or something would be to have like a podcast listener type festival, sort of like the LA Podfest. Where in the LA Podfest, you get all of the big wig, like comedy peeps. And the majority of that conference is not podcasters. It's the audience. It's their fans. And I kind of want that. I wish that there was a way for podcast fans to then come to an event and meet the podcasters in some way.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, for She Podcasts, our group is so diverse that it's like, how do you... Like, we have every genre. I think it would be an easier sell if it was something about meet the tech podcasters or meet the entertainment podcasters or something like that, where it would be a little different. But anyhow.
Yeah, I know. That's a cool, I know.
I don't know.
We can always do it. We can do whatever we want, Elsie. As soon as we're ready to travel, I'm ready. I'm right there with you. I'm booking the plane tickets. You don't even know it.
You don't even know it. I know, and you totally are. So I think that we've... We've kind of
have we exhausted ourselves?
We have exhausted ourselves. This is Memorial Day, actually. I hope you guys enjoy today and you are relaxing by the pool while we are talking to you.
Are you going to a pool for Memorial Day?
I don't know.
Do you have a pool that you could go to?
Yeah. Yes, I think so.
You don't sound sure.
I know. I was like, I saw a pool in my head. Oh, well, we did, because when Nanny and Pap were here, when the grandparents were here, they just left, actually, 2 days ago. We went to their hotel, and they had an indoor pool, and it was very fun.
Did you have to prove you knew someone staying there?
No, because we would always go with them.
Well, then, yeah, just go there.
Oh, you need a card to go inside.
Oh, crap.
I know. Oh, well.
Well, I hope you can figure it out. We're going to our JCC pool. Opens on Saturday, and then it's prom.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't think I'd get to see her go to a prom, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, well, the last time we talked, she wasn't going to a prom, so.
Well, they're teenagers, so yes. Things change every day.
I know.
But I'm pretty sure she's going now.
Okay.
And things are worked out for the moment, so that's good.
Okay, good. Well, I can't wait to see pictures, so.
Thank you. All right, so you guys have a wonderful holiday weekend. And we will see you for number 99 next time. Holy crapsicles!
Ew, that's crazy.
Ah! Oh! All right. Okay. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.